AT&T.com/federal.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons 3 to 7.
Christy Romero is the acting special inspector general for TARP.
We ended up questioning two-thirds of Venable's bill, which was over $676,000. And we concluded that OFS practices create an unacceptable risk that Treasury and really the American taxpayer is overpaying for legal services.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Find news about federal information assurance and new information from various agency CISOs and CIOs on the Federal Security Spotlight on federalnewsradio.com, sponsored by Cisco.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today, I've been trying to get on the show for quite some time, is Dendy Young, who is managing partner of McLean Capital and a board member, a recent board member, I think, of the Virginia Information Technology Advisory Council. Dendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you feel that way at the end of the show. So
let's, oops.
Let's take it from there. Let's start off with a little background on Dendy Young, and then we'll get into a bit of info about McLean Capital.
Okay.
So we met a while ago when you were running a company called Falcon Microsystems. I love the Falcon story, so let's start with how Falcon came about.
Okay. Actually, Mark, I think we met before Falcon Microsystems. I think it was Falcon Systems days.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was in 1975, I came to Washington and got a job with a company called Federal Data Corporation, which at the time had three employees, and spent the next 6+ years at Federal Data and watched the company grow dramatically. It was an exciting time to be in this market. And in many ways, Fed Data was one of the forerunners of today's systems integrator marketplace.
And spawned leaders for several of them.
That's true. And in 1981, I spun out, so to speak, and started my own company called Falcon Systems. And we were very much focused on what I'll call the mid to high end range of the business. We installed a lot of high end IBM and Amdahl computers, and we put a Cray computer into National Cancer Institute, and we put hundreds of high end mini computers into Defense Logistics Agency. We had a good run of the company. And then one day, Oracle walked into my office and said, "We want to buy the company." And I couldn't exactly turn them down at that point. So,
Larry had money even then.
That's right. He did. In fact, we were the first acquisition ever done by Oracle.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
And which meant actually we had to do a lot of training of Larry as to how acquisitions worked. But we then spun off out of that another company called Falcon Microsystems, since Oracle permitted me to keep the name and the name Falcon. And so Microsystems was very much focused on taking Apple and Apple-compatible products to the government. And we had this relationship with Apple whereby we represented them on GSA schedule and a number of other contracts. And Apple wanted to keep sort of an arm's-length relationship with the government. And we ended
That's
up,
the part of the story I love, by the way.
And so we ended up selling a lot of Apple products to the government. We had a fine company. We were well regarded for our customer service and for our responsiveness. And it was an exciting time to be in the personal computer marketplace.
Well, it was just starting.
Yes,
and you had an exclusive with Apple for 9 years.
That's right. And so it was exciting times. And then one day, in the month of May of 1990, 2004, I got three calls from three different companies saying they wanted to buy Falcon Microsystems, and my board agreed that that doesn't happen very often, and that if that's the case, it must be time to sell it. And although I didn't want to sell the company at the time, I did, and GTSI was the acquirer at the time, and so we ended up with a good relationship with GTSI.
I didn't know that there were two other bids on the table that day.
Yes, there were.
Well, it's always nice to have a choice.
It is nice.
And probably helped you bump up the price.
And the other companies didn't know nearly as much about government and didn't have the commitment to government that GTSI did. So we thought that that was probably a better fit.
Okay, cool. All right, so and then after that, a year and a half later, GTSI came back and said, we'd like you to run the company.
That's right. And I became at that time the fourth president of GTSI in the space of 12 months. And so the company was in, you know, fairly rocky shape and had gone through a very difficult time and had gone public just a few years before. And so we had the both the opportunity of being a public company and also some of the pressures, the quarterly pressures of being a public company. So it was an exciting time to be at GTSI, and we were able to slay many dragons in the process.
Okay. So you left GTSI half a dozen years ago now?
In 2006.
Yeah, okay, 5 years ago. And about a year or less later, you started McLean.
Yeah, and so, you know, you bump around town and say, what am I going to do with myself? I'm not going to retire, perhaps ever. And
boredom could set in.
so you talk to a lot of people, and I finally concluded that the way that my personal love was to be involved with smaller companies and entrepreneurs and people who wanted to do things. And I must tell you, I was soured at that point in time about public companies and the public markets and Reg FD and Sarbanes-Oxley and things like that. So
there's enough regulations in the government market without being public.
That's true. That's true. And in fact, the combination of the two makes it very difficult, as many public companies in the federal market have discovered.
Okay. So McLean Capital is a VC, is angel, is...
It's really a private equity company, which distinguished from your typical VC, is involved with what I'll call slightly later stage companies. If you think about the sort of hierarchy of investors right now, today you have angel investors who invest anything up to maybe $1 to $2 million. And it's usually groups of investors when you have that much on the table. And then the venture capital folks will get involved at about $5 to $20 million. And the private equity folks will get involved, at anything above that.
Okay. So what's your sweet spot with McLean? And are you having fun?
So my sweet spot has been... to work with smaller companies that could use some additional capital, and I've been able to put many companies into the portfolio, and but they've typically been smaller companies because I've been interested in having a larger say in the business issues rather than taking a purely hands off kind of approach. So most venture capitalists and most private equity companies take a very much a hands-off approach. They put their money in, they provide access to their Rolodex to the CEO, but then it's up, that's it.
The infrastructure's in place, you don't play
right.
with it. So.
And in my case, I would prefer to be involved with perhaps some younger CEOs whom I can mentor and be involved on a more active scale. So I've typically taken the role of chairman of the board and been very much more involved and active and knowledgeable than just a typical outside investor.
Okay. And, you know, I part of that probably goes back to the federal day-to-days, because the guy you work for, Dan Young, has been sort of a mentor to you on and off.
Actually, I never worked for Dan Young. I
worked really? For, you worked for Bob, Harry?
No. Harry did, and... Well, Harry didn't either. Harry worked for Bob Hanley.
Okay.
So all three of us. In fact, I joined Fed Data before 6 months before Dan did.
Good Lord. Well, you said there were three employees when you joined.
That's right. And it was the receptionist, Marv Haber, and Bob. And and 6 months later, Dan did join the group. And
okay.
Shortly after that, George Wichert. And then we were up to six, I think, and Harry joined shortly after that. So it's just, it was an interesting time.
But I'll go back to Fed Data again in a slightly different tack then. It was a mentoring ground for a variety of people. Falcon Systems and Falcon Microsystems became a mentoring ground for a variety of people.
That's right. I think all of those companies, perhaps because they were early, perhaps because they were relatively successful, ended up attracting really bright, capable people who, when as things changed, then spun off and built their own companies. And so mm-hmm. we've had a number of companies that have learned from the experience. One good example, which I can't mention the individual's name because I fired him, came back to me afterwards and said, "Denny, really appreciated what you did for us because what did for me because what you know what I learned was I learned all about the business, and after you fired me, I went out and started my own company and made that successful."
There you go.
So it was.
Stranger things have happened. My guest right. today is Dendy Young, Managing Partner of McLean Capital. When we come back, we are going to talk a little more about VC and angels and private equity and how you bring companies into the government market. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hello, my federal friends. It's the Geico Gecko, and I've got good news for you. I might even say it's some of the best news ever. Okay, well, definitely in the top three. The big news. GEICO now offers discounts for most federal employees GS7 or above, which is no doubt a lot of you out there. So you could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, all with a company that began over 70 years ago with the sole purpose of serving government employees like yourself. Yeah, that's right. GEICO, the Government Employees Insurance Company. And today, well, we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. And did you know about GEICO's 97% customer satisfaction rate? Well, saving money tends to make people rather happy, I think. So congrats again to those federal employees GS7 or above. Welcome to the Savings Club. Mike?
Got it. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. The Gecko's right. Discounts are available for most federal employees GS7, the equivalent or above. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local GEICO office to see how much you could save.
Is the U.S. Marshals Service modernizing its financial management system? What role does the Unified Financial Management System, or UFMS, play in this effort? And how do you manage large financial systems implementation? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with Ed Dolan, UFMS Project Executive at the United States Marshals Service.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
I'm like you. I watch the cherry blossoms bloom in the spring. I live amongst monuments and museums. I enjoy walks on the National Mall. Washington, D.C. is my home. This is where I found my career. I am a civilian employee of the United States Coast Guard. That's right, the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard provides me with great workplace training and excellent federal benefits. It allows me to live my life to the fullest. I have time off to travel and have flexible work hours so I can spend time with my family. Coast Guard gives me access to childcare, health and fitness programs, and first-class health insurance, life insurance, and retirement benefits. This is my career. It's how I serve. Find out more about U.S. Coast Guard positions available in D.C. and across the U.S. at CoastGuardCivilian.com/federal. That's CoastGuardCivilian.com/federal. The U.S. Coast Guard is an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, I'm Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Join me this week for my special guest, Hans Hess, founder of Elevation Burger and EnviroCab. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Don't miss the first annual Backgammon Beating Cancer Tourney, Saturday, February 26th, to benefit the wellness community, providers of free programs of emotional support, education, and hope for people with cancer and their loved ones. Beginners to experts are welcome. For more information, call David Ogden at 301-717-7166. For more information about the wellness community of Greater Washington, call 301-493-5002. All programs at the wellness community are provided free of charge.
Are you an IT leader, a change agent? Then the Green IT and Cloud Computing Summit, April 20th and 21st at the Ritz-Carlton Tyson's Corner, is an event you shouldn't miss. Hear from top government leaders and private industry experts as they discuss real-world projects. Network with thought leaders and decision-makers to better understand the green IT and cloud computing opportunities emerging in federal, state, and local governments, and leave with actionable ideas, advice, and a network of experts. That's the Green IT and Cloud Computing Summit, April 20th and 21st. For more information, visit greenitdc.com.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Dendy Young, Managing Partner of McLean Capital. Dendy, let's talk a little bit about, first, the infrastructure necessary for companies to attract funding from the outside, be it VC, angel, or private equity, and then what it takes for some of these companies to play, and we'll use some of the companies you work with as examples. So, first of all, give me a little detail on the infrastructure really that's necessary in order for a startup with a great idea to attract money.
Well, things change over time, Mark, and so what's true today was not necessarily true 5 years ago. But so let's talk about today. And it's very difficult today for any startup to get any kind of funding without having customers. And by customers, I mean and some kind of revenue stream which proves that the concept is attractive to its customers. So a few years ago, for example, you know, back before the last crash, before the last crash, you could go out, and if you had a great idea, people would throw money at you. Today, and especially through the recent recession, it's been just the opposite. You better be able to survive without any money, because the chance of you getting it are slim, and when you do get it, it comes at a high price. And so a lot of companies have concluded that actually it's better to try and go it alone rather than getting outside investors to come in.
If you build up enough customer relationships, a customer base, you can.
That's right.
But there are other advantages to finding the right funding firm.
Absolutely, and so what you got to do is you got to find a firm with whom you can establish a relationship, and you know, different people have or different companies have different needs. Sometimes the company just needs some mentoring. Sometimes it's a case of a young entrepreneur or a young CEO who has great skills in one area but is lacking in other areas, or sometimes it's a case of a company that isn't prepared for the next disaster or the next crisis which may hit it, and as it hits that, needs advice from somebody who's been there before. I always advise companies, for example, to put past or retired CEOs on their board, because there's nothing like having somebody who's been in your position before to provide good advice when you get into those sticky issues, whether they be human resource related or cash flow related or banking related. If you deal with another ex-CEO, that person knows what you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. If you put a a lawyer or an accountant or a three-star general on your board, they don't really, they may provide other value to you, but they certainly can't help you when the chips are down.
Lawyers and accountants are people you should pay separately. Generals have to be selected on your desire to work where they previously served.
That's right.
So, just having one on the board doesn't necessarily buy you a lot.
And that doesn't mean to say you shouldn't put them on right. Advisory boards.
Right.
Which is very different than your corporate governance board.
Right.
And so it's really the corporate governance board that I'm talking about there.
Okay. I had Stan Krejci on the show last fall, mm-hmm. and we talked about it. That's all Stan does is help companies structure boards, and he got into a lot of reasons why you select this type of person, but the board ultimately has to come together and work together. But having having the right investor partner, they can help you populate a board as well as hopefully help you develop relationships with the customer base.
Right. And one of the risks there is that you get an investor partner who hasn't had CEO experience, all right, and he because of his investment in the company is going to insist on a board position. And in many instances, I've seen companies who've put those investors on their board only to regret it, or haven't been as happy with the outcome as they might otherwise have been.
Right. So, structuring the board is really critical. So let's move this closer to the government market. How many of the relatively new companies out there that are developing a customer base, give me an example of a company where the first customers may be government? And does that make them more attractive, less attractive? Is it harder? We need viable commerciality for a company to do business with the government unless they have a really, really hot technology that an agency needs. So,
but one of the problems if you have a really hot technology is actually getting it into the government or getting them to be aware of it. And it's just, frankly, in the last few years that the CIA has built an organization called InQtel, which is now beginning to inject new technology into the government. NSA has just recently opened up. I'm trying to remember the acronym of the program that they have, where they will actually sponsor new companies to come on in and be able to sell their product, their wares inside NSA. It's really a dramatic change from just 5 years ago.
Well, yeah, the cutting edge technologies are often so cutting that most agencies really don't want to touch them anyway.
That's true. I mean, there's a natural reluctance in government, as there is in large corporations,
right.
to be on that bleeding edge. But I think that there's more commitment today from those. Agencies to actually accept new ideas and begin to look at them.
Mm-hmm. But from either a PE point of view or any sort of funding point of view, if the initial client base is at least in part government, does that make a company more attractive or less attractive? I mean, for you, because you know the government market so well, it probably makes it a little more attractive because that's you can open a lot more doors.
Yes, in my case, if I'd much rather be doing business, be involved with a company that wants to do business in the government, because frankly, I can provide more value to the company that way than a typical commercial transaction.
Okay.
So I tend to gravitate towards companies which have, a federal interest or, aspirations to go federal. So there's, for example, a small company called Obsidian, which is based in Canada, and they have great technology which facilitates very high-speed data transport over long distances. If you want to tie together two supercomputers, you really need an Obsidian link in the middle to make that happen, and the two computers will think that they're one. It's a very elegant technology.
Okay, so you've been involved with them less than a year now. It's just coming up on a year.
Right.
Did they find you? Did you find them? How did that occur?
Actually, what happened in that instance was an individual that had worked with one of my suppliers at GTSI. got involved in this company as a VP of Federal, and he called me and said, "Hey, I need somebody else that these people can talk to, because every time I tell them, you know, the sky is blue, they say, no, we think it's green." And
That outside voice.
Yeah. So he got me involved, and I stayed involved, and it's an interesting little company.
It's a relationship-driven market. My guest today is Dendy Young, managing partner of McLean Capital. When we come back, we're continuing the discussion on how some of these companies enter the market, and we'll probably get into a little bit of the M&A activity and developing exit plans for the small companies. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Brigadier General Kevin Nally is the Chief Information Officer of the Marine Corps. He says the service is already successfully transitioning out of the NMCI contract.
We were required to move up between 1,200 and 1,400 what I'll call seats and accounts into a Marine Corps worldwide network, which is our government-owned, government-operated network. So that went very well. We've completed that ahead of cost, schedule, and performance.
CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation. You can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Here's Sharon Wall, Regional Commissioner, FASGSA Telework Program Office, on the Federal Executive Forum on Telework Coop and the Role of Video Conferencing, sponsored by Riverbed.
Work is what you do. It's not where you are. So I think that we're going to enable a much more agile, mobile, flexible workforce that is innovative, that we create the transparency that the American people are looking for.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Would you like to increase the productivity of your mobile and teleworkers? Now you can through Riverbed. Their WAN optimization solutions empower mobile workers with high-performance access to email, files, and applications and keep them collaborating in real time. Challenges and delays in working remotely suddenly disappear, and you're complying with telework and COOP mandates. Free your mobile workers to work anywhere with Riverbed. Learn more at riverbed.com. That's R-I-V-E-R-B-E-D.com. Riverbed. Think fast.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arinc.
The U.S. military says it's shot down an intermediate-range ballistic missile over the Pacific Ocean. It was a part of a test for the anti-missile shield the U.S. is working on to defend against Iranian missiles in Europe. That means the first test phase of the Lockheed Martin Raytheon project is on schedule to finish this year. The test, called Missile 15, was completed using tracking data gathered by onshore radar. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a saying that lightning never strikes the same place twice. Airport operators know that's not the case, which is why they rely on Arinc to provide the most advanced lightning warning systems available. It allows personnel to get to safety, then back out on the tarmac in the shortest amount of time to keep you moving. For more information and career opportunities, log on to arinc.com.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
Have Federal News Radio headlines delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Profile America, Monday, April 18th. We all feel better when we laugh, and two observances this month point that out. For one, it's Stress Awareness Month, the time to focus on one of the nation's growing health problems. Personal and general economic woes can cause stress, along with worries about paying income taxes, family relationships, and job stability. However, April is also National Humor Month, honoring one of the best antidotes to stress. Experts say laughter has therapeutic value and can increase not only the quality, but perhaps even the length of life. Stress is one of the culprits in cardiovascular disease, which takes the lives of more than 806,000 people in the U.S. every year. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Dendy Young, who is the managing partner of McLean Capital. Dendy, what's the website for McLean Capital? I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, it's McLeanCap.com.
McLeanCap.com. McLean, M-C-L-E-A-N. CAP.com. All right. So, private equity. It appears that private equity firms are taking a very, very serious look at the government market now and making some not insignificant purchases here. So what's your take on this?
Well, I think the big New York firms are beginning to realize that, first of all, this is a somewhat recession-proof part of the country, that there's some big companies here that are interesting, that are professionally managed and good places to invest, because with the continued growth in government, those companies will be the beneficiaries and they will grow faster than the outside marketplace. So I think this is a realization that government-centric companies are less risky and are growing better, faster than perhaps some of the industrial companies out in the hinterlands.
Okay. Over the past couple of weeks, I've touched on this with different guests, but there have been a number of smaller firms that have been smaller in terms of full scope, you know, $20, $30, $40, $50 million companies being picked up by private equity firms. But just a couple weeks ago, and I don't think the deal is quite done yet, Providence Partners, I think it's Providence Partners, I know it's Providence something, bought or is buying SRA. And SRA is not a $30, $40, or $50 million company. They're like a top 20 WashTech player.
Yeah, they're paying $1.9 billion for the company.
That's a significant chunk of change.
That's almost becoming real money.
Yeah. So
by government standards,
just $2 billion. You know. Yeah. But what does this portend here? Number one, what does it do for SRA, and what does it mean to some of the other companies that aren't your typical, you know, they aren't your the companies you're going to read about in Investor's Business Daily or necessarily in the Wall Street Journal, unless you're reading purely the financial parts. You know, they're Washington, they're Beltway companies.
That's right, and so they do a good job here in Washington, and they support a very well-paying, I mean, a consistently paying customer with deep pockets. That's a pretty good business proposition.
Okay, so but in and the other part here is they come in perhaps the strangest year I've ever seen in government contracting, mm-hmm. with the perpetual continuing resolution. We're on our seventh now, and that is, six was a record. I think four was a record.
I think so.
So we're in a year of every time we do something, it's a record. But
Mark, we have some fundamentally tough issues to resolve.
Yeah,
as President Obama says, the current path is unsustainable, and it is unsustainable. And so sooner or later, we have to deal with the issues. And the issues are not fundamentally related to the government budget. I mean, the budget is a factor, but it's really the entitlement transfer payments that are causing the major issues right now. And the way I believe Capitol Hill has to deal with that is they're going to ratchet down on the budget until they realize that there's not a lot more blood you can squeeze out of that stone. And then they'll go finally have to deal with the important stuff, which is the entitlements and the transfer payments.
Okay, but still, from my perspective, for the private equity firms to come in during a convoluted year when probably revenues for a lot of the contractors are going to be softer.
But that's what you want to do as an investor. You always want to look at a good marketplace, find a good management team, and then buy them when things are, you know,
a little off,
you know, because otherwise, how do you make a profit on this transaction?
Well, obviously, they're confident that we may have a real budget next year.
Absolutely. I think the budget will continue to feel pressure, but it's going to be more professionally handled, and, you know, they're going to squeeze out some of the waste and abuse.
Well, there depends on which side of the aisle you are on as to how one defines waste and abuse. But this is not a political discussion. This is a contracting discussion and a small company discussion. But let's go back to perhaps some of the companies that you're dealing with here. And where they fit. Obviously, they would all fit under the small business designation.
That's right, they would.
With the Canadian company, there's no barrier to doing business with the U.S. federal government?
Technically, that's correct. Practically speaking, their product is best suited to, shall we say, some of the top secret environments, and they have to deal with the issue of FOCI, which is foreign-owned security issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as they do that, they'll be more successful in selling to government than they have been up to now. So one of the things that I can provide them with, if you like, is access. I have a DOD clearance, and so I can provide them with some access. But fundamentally, they have to solve the problem of access into the federal government. And when they do, they will be more successful than they've been so far. But they have a product that's well-suited to this federal marketplace and would be of tremendous advantage to the government customer.
Now, when you're selling this to the government, are you primarily trying to sell direct as sole source? You're going through other contracts?
Essentially, what you need to do in government, and this is what I've been advising companies to do for 30 years now. As I say, you either have to find a company, a reseller, who's going to represent your interests and go sell for you, or you've got to do your own selling, in which case, and once you get a customer who wants to buy, you can then run it through a reseller or a systems integrator or something like that. But you cannot, unless you have a very special relationship with that VAR or reseller, you cannot rely on that company to do your selling for you.
No, and unless you have a product that is truly unique and is hot. And by hot, we're not talking about really cool and a trend. We're talking about something that would be funded.
That's right.
So something that the government would need.
So ultimately, you have to work through systems integrators, and they're the ones who, in effect, make sure that it works and make sure that the government customer looks good and doesn't take any risk, because that's important.
Okay. Then we're going to start a slightly different topic here and carry it into the final segment. How do you make a company attractive to a systems integrator? Because this is a question that pops up all the time, everywhere, small business conferences, the OSDBU conference, you can talk to an OSDBU, but you've got to get in front of the integrator. What makes you sellable at that point?
The best way to get in front of the integrator is to first get to the customer, persuade the customer that he wants to buy your product, and I can assure you the system integrators will fall all over themselves to take your product to that customer.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to cut it at this segment right now. My guest is Dundee Young, Managing Partner of McLean Capital. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the channel and maybe get a little a few anecdotes with or without names of successes in the market. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Office of Management and Budget has decided to release the source code behind two tools it says have led to big federal IT savings. Together, OMB says the IT dashboard and the TechStat toolkit have saved the government $3 billion so far by shining a light on underperforming IT projects. They say opening up the tools to the rest of the world will let state and local governments do the same, and OMB hopes they'll make improvements to the software that can then be used in the federal space.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology. Information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map, so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by Quest Government Services. Identify the federal agency problem.
Am I number E enough? All the other information is way prettier. I look fat in this network, don't I?
The answer? Insecure data. With Quest's suite of security solutions, even your most sensitive data stays protected. For a free risk assessment, visit quest.com/federal. That's quest.com/federal.
How old were you when you stopped playing? Chances are it didn't happen overnight. As you grew up, information got elevated. Imagination got downgraded. We stopped playing and started stressing. Kaiser Permanente encourages you to follow your kid's lead and put some play back in your day. It's as natural and necessary as sleep. Physically, play boosts immune function, lowers blood pressure and cholesterol. And what it does for your emotional and mental health is pure refreshment. Toss a ball around and see how it lightens your mood. Notice how a hand of cards changes your outlook. Jump rope and watch your creativity soar. Best of all, play keeps you young, like no pill, no program, no procedure can. So take that kayak lesson you've been putting off. Learn a new song on the piano. The truth is, the day you stop playing is the day you start aging. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community, sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week, host Deborah Roth will be joined by Women in Federal Law Enforcement to learn more about their association and highlight their upcoming conference.
With vacation time just around the corner, are you ready to go? Ackerman Security can help keep families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. And switch your existing system to Ackerman at no cost and get a great $18.95 rate. Ackerman is the only company with a guaranteed response time. You want fast response, you want Ackerman. Get 3 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
It wasn't so long ago that collaboration was a bad word in government. Today, we know that the only way to solve our biggest challenges is for industry and government to work together to collaborate. At its upcoming Management of Change conference at the Homestead in Hot Springs, Virginia, ACT-IAC provides an ethical and trusted forum to explore solutions to our most pressing IT challenges. Be a collaborator. Register for Management of Change today at actgov.org. That's actgov.org.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Dendy Young, Managing Partner of McLean Capital. You can find them at McLeanCap.com, McLeanCap.com. Dendy, are during the entire time I've known you, you are a channel-based guy. In the 80s and 90s, you were really one of the masters, if not the master, of the reseller model in the market. And a number of us thought when GTSI bought Falcon, they left the major asset on the table, and that was you. Because the president at the time was not of the same stature, I believe, as you, and did not have the skill that you brought to the table, which is why they came back to you a year later. That aside, let's get into a little more about, you know, all right, so you don't approach the prime or the reseller first, you approach the customer first. Give me a scenario or two or a story or two about how a company can do this or how a company has done this.
Well, I mean, if you look at GTSI's business, as an example, we provided several resources to both our customers and our suppliers. And one of those resources was a contract portfolio, which was the best in town. And
it was extensive.
Yeah, we made sure that we had all of the right contracts for all of the agencies that you might want to do business with, so that once you had a customer who wanted to buy something, it was easy to facilitate the transaction. We then made it very easy we had a very good contracts department who made it very easy for the customer's contracting staff to modify our contract to get a particular new product, if you like, onto that contract. So we facilitated the paperwork side of the transaction. We then had a first-class sales force who could go out and, when introduced to a particular vendor, could work with that vendor to take that vendor's product into the marketplace, so that you had this sense that a vendor that came to GTSI would link up with a subset of our sales force. They'd go out, and that sales force would facilitate the transaction and the sale, the final sale into the customer.
Right.
Now, we also got a fair amount of business from vendors who did their own, made their own penetration of the market, and would end up, finding a customer in the government who wanted to buy. And when that happened, then GTSI in effect became a pass-through type organization, where we would work, with the customer to mod the contract. The customer already knew what he wanted, and we would facilitate the transaction.
You can have a customer hot to buy, but if you don't have a vehicle to sell through,
that's right,
you're toast.
That's right.
The interest will only last so long. So part of the value, and this is one of the cool things, especially going back to the Falcon days. Falcon salespeople had relationships with the, let's call them the avid advocates of the Apple platforms at the time. And, Apple has enjoyed, just massive popularity with its user base since day one.
That's correct.
And that's the one thing that really continues to this day. You carry an iPhone.
I carry an iPad too.
iPad, iPhone. You carry an iCar. I didn't. does Steve have one of those? Yeah. Next, but since way back they've had this. But
But Mark, that strategy that we used at Falcon was a very successful one in its time, because Apple was coming from nothing, from the West Coast, and needed somebody to represent their interests into the government. And we did that very effectively. We grew that business to several hundred million dollars a year.
Yeah, predicated on relationships.
That's right.
Between your salespeople and the advocates in the developing advocates in the market.
That's right. And the call them customers. And, mm-hmm. But at GTSI, we did the same thing with Panasonic. I mean, we represented Panasonic, that you recall the yep. tough book. I mean, I'll take personal credit.
You wrote that story for my new book.
That's right.
So.
I'll take some credit for the fact that they named it the tough book because I was involved and I said, you've got to have a better branded image for this product than a CF-25, I think was their internal name for it.
Right.
And so you have to be able to market and brand something. And we worked very closely and I think very successfully with Panasonic to do that. And over time, they grew their revenues and therefore their staff and ability to manage the market themselves and became less dependent on GTSI.
Yeah, but it was a very successful relationship
That's
for
right.
both of you for several years.
That's right. And so I can name a number of companies that have done that. Today, I like to call Craig Abart my protege or a protege of mine because Craig worked with me back in the early 80s. And then again in the late 80s and 90s, and then it spun out and built two companies, one of course being DLT, and then the second one being Carahsoft.
Right.
And what he's done with those companies is very much taken that same philosophy of really representing and really focusing on a particular vendor and making sure that vendor's interests are protected in this federal marketplace.
Yeah,
and it's been very successful.
It has been, but and you bring up his. His role at Falcon was not Apple; it was Silicon Graphics.
Well, that's true. He initiated. He started a new division at Falcon Microsystems, focused on Silicon Graphics. And in the space of the year, we grew that business to over $30 million in revenue.
And that was very significant at the time.
That's right.
Because you were fighting some entrenched customers.
That's right.
So.
I mean, those kinds of examples are good ones where you've got a reseller who's really focused on and committed to your business.
Okay. Do you have any final advice for companies that are looking at coming into the market or looking to get funding? All of the above.
Well, I think the funding issue is perhaps a different one. Companies that are looking to get funding need to work with angels initially because going directly to VCs is not a successful thing unless you're going to, ask for $10 or $20 million. And most small companies don't know what to do with $10 or $20 million. So if you're going to work with this marketplace, you work with an angel or a group of angels, and there are several angel groups around town that'll do that and support companies to do that. And then the companies like McLean Capital will also invest in younger companies and work with them as they grow to build something of substance.
Okay. Dendy, it's always a pleasure to sit down with you. My guest today has been Dendy Young, who is the managing partner of McLean Capital, sits on the board of half a dozen or more companies that he invests in or otherwise advises, as well as being on the board of the Virginia Information Technology Advisory Council. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mark. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
This is not my day job. If you're interested in maximizing the marketing for your end of FY programs, give me a call. You can find me at federaldirect.net. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center with AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio.